We're speaking this morning on this subject. If you notice the title of the message, that 2+1=victory. And I was so happy to hear Brother Denny lead us in Victory in Jesus. I knew the author of that song. In fact, his son went to seminary where I went to seminary at the same time, Brother Bartlett. And that's one of my favorite songs. And we're talking about some victory in the life of an individual that we know to be the eunuch from Ethiopia. Now, as you look at Acts chapter 8, you must realize that there's something that's taking place that's supernatural. And as you read, as Brother Glenn shared with us, God's holy word, you'll find that the angel of the Lord is involved, and the angel of the Lord is speaking to the servant of the Lord because he is being commissioned for a particular job. You might say a mission to get the gospel to just one person. Now, I didn't fail in math. In fact, I was very good in math in school. I know that 2+1=3. It's not victory. But when you look at that equation and you have a eunuch, you have an evangelist, and then you have the Holy Scriptures revealed to that eunuch through the evangelist, suddenly we see that third man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Because he's vividly portrayed from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And when you consider this, then you must say with me that 2+1 must spell victory. And this eunuch is interesting in the fact that he started out in his chariot. Now, I don't know if it's a two-wheeler or a four-wheeler, but it had to be at least a two-seater because the Bible says that Philip was invited to join him, come up into the chariot and have a seat and explain to him what the scriptures were saying. But he had just left a worship time in the city of Jerusalem. He was about 1,500 miles from home. He's on a long journey. He had traveled from Ethiopia on the continent of Africa to go to Jerusalem, and he was going to take part in the worship of the Lord during the feast time. I don't know about you, but I wondered, how did he get the scriptures? How did he get the word of God, the portion that he had? Well, I conclude he must have either purchased it, and he had enough money to do that, because the Bible says he was the treasurer of the queen, Queen Candace of Ethiopia. He had the charge of all of her wealth. So he either purchased that portion of scripture or somebody gave it to him. He probably got it from someone of the apostles or one of the other Christians that was there. Remember, we're in the first century. They didn't have the printed press. They didn't have the advantage that you and I have today to have the complete word of God, the Bible, what thus saith the Lord. But he had the word of God in his presence. And we know that he was riding in that chariot on his way home, and he's about to experience who that third person is that he's been wondering about, that he's been reading about in the book of Isaiah in chapter 53. To better understand this story, we need to consider those three participants. First of all, we see the seeker. Secondly, we see the soul winner. And thirdly, we see the everlasting Savior. Let's look at that Ethiopian eunuch. And by the way, we're going to consider the fact that he had the right motive. His heart was right. He desired the proper thing that was needful in his life at that time. We're going to also understand and learn about the fact that he had the right manuscript, the Word of God. And then thirdly and lastly, he listened to the right messenger. But let's notice something about this eunuch. What was a eunuch? Well, a eunuch was a male servant who had been emasculated by castration for a purpose, and that was to guard the females of the royal kingdom. He was to be a servant, and he was a servant. And it was a special position. Most eunuchs had watch over the harem. Back in those days, rulers and kings had large groups of women that made up their kingdom and their royalship, and Here he is, the treasurer. So he's a man of means. He's riding in his Rolls Royce chariot, and he's left Jerusalem, and he's headed back home. Now, the chariots in those days were normally made out of bronze and other metals and some wood, but I imagine he had a very elaborate vehicle. He had a good chariot, and he probably had a good group of horses. There was an entourage. It wasn't just he alone, I'm sure. He had others that were going before him and traveling alongside of him to protect him and to guide him. But he's in his chariot. He's a eunuch. And by the way, he remains nameless. He's not mentioned by name. Interesting. You probably wondered, Brother Sam, what do you think his name was? Abdul. That's a good selection. He was from Ethiopia. He probably came from a country that was, not as the Jews were. But this eunuch was, no doubt, he had been converted to Judaism. And he had been there in Jerusalem. He'd been in worship to the Lord. So we've noticed something about him, but he was a proselyte to Judaism, I believe with all of my heart. And that's why he's reading in the book of Isaiah. Let's notice, secondly, the soul winner. His name is given to us. His name is Philip. Not Philip McDonald, but Philip. Philip's a good name. And Brother Philip's name is in the Bible. As I said the other night, Brother Herm's name is not in the Bible. Samuel is. Amen, Brother Sam. But we notice that the soul winner is Philip, and he's a deacon evangelist. Wow, what a mixture, what a combination. Now, I've been a preacher and still am. I've been an evangelist and somewhat still I am. And would you believe I was a deacon for about 4 years, about 5-6 years ago. And they finally told me I had to leave deacon because I couldn't deek. I appreciate the deacons of this church and the good work that they're doing. But he started out as a deacon. He was a table waiter. You remember just a couple of chapters previous here in the book of Acts, chapter 6, the apostles were cumbered about with taking care of the Greek widows. And the tables needed to be waited on. And so God put in their heart to choose to select how many? 7 men to take care of the needs of the widows at that time. They were to be men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. They were to be those of wisdom and faith and power. And so that's why this man Philip was chosen. He was an itinerant preacher. He went about proclaiming the gospel, the good news. And by the way, he was very active in evangelism. When the New Testament church of the 21st century loses its taste for evangelism, you're just about to go out of business. Soul winning is a great emphasis for the New Testament church. And Philip knew what it was to bring people to Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he realized in his heart that he was in the service of the King. The King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And he, having waited tables, could easily wait on other people. He'd been involved in that mass explosive evangelistic thrust that had been taking place in Jerusalem. And there were about 100,000 people that came to faith in Christ. Think of that. That group of believers at that time in Jerusalem was huge. And yet, we find him also involved conducting his own meetings up in Samaria. He's carrying the gospel to those folks. And the Bible says he preached and also performed miracles. He had miracle-working power to complement his ministry. And so Philip is truly a somebody. He was involved in mass or corporate evangelism in Jerusalem. He went up into Samaria and preached the glorious gospel. And now we see him being nudged by the Holy Spirit to go to the desert. The desert. Why? God's concerned about one soul. The Ethiopian eunuch. That's just like our God. He was concerned about you and me enough that he put Jesus on the cross and then helped him to come out of that tomb the third day to be our resurrected Savior. Glory to God. Philip was truly a servant of the Lord. And when you think about this man, Philip, he was very qualified. He was dedicated. He had been proven. He had been tried. And he was a man that was a somebody telling everybody about Jesus, who could save everybody. It was on his heart. It burned within him. And we find that when he preached in Samaria, the Bible says in the book of Acts, that there was great joy in that city when he left. I tell you, if you see folks saved, and you see folks transformed, you see folks made ready for heaven, born again by the Spirit of God through the preaching of the Word of God, you'll get excited, and you'll be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And by the way, Philip only had one message. Brother Herman, it was 3 points. I figured out what it was. He had a 3-point message. Number one, Jesus is the Son of God. Number two, Jesus not only is the Son of God, but he's God the Son. Number three, Jesus is the only Savior of lost mankind. I'm just guessing on that one, but it sounds pretty good. Jesus was the message that he preached. Is that not what the Bible says in the reading that we heard this morning? That Jesus was preached as Philip opened his mouth, and he didn't give him some long dissertation or exegesis, but he gave to him the message of Jesus. No better message than Jesus. I remember when I preached in a pulpit in Texas about 60 years ago, they had emblazoned on the pulpit these words about that high: Jesus, we want to see Jesus. He's the only Savior. He's the only Redeemer. He's the only one that can give us hope of eternity in heaven. And so Philip's message is very plain, and we know that he not only preached there in Samaria, and not only did he win this eunuch to the Lord, he'd left the masses in Jerusalem. He'd seen many people brought to the Lord, and now he's out there on the backside of the desert, and he's going to preach to one person. There's not many preachers today who want to preach to just one person. Sometimes we get filled up with pride. And, we think the crowd's not quite big enough to hear what we've got to say. The crowd only need be one, my friend. And Philip realized that. And we need to emulate Philip. He stayed on focus. He stayed on track. He saw that this man was reading the scriptures, the Holy Writ. Most likely he was reading from the Septuagint version, which was, of course, translated from the original Hebrew into the Greek. It took about 70 years with 72 scholars to do that. And this man's reading, and he doesn't understand what he's reading. He had a knowledge of God. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship God, but now he desires to know what the scripture is saying about this other person. And then thirdly, we see Savior Jesus Christ. He's that third person in our story today. He's the central figure, as he ought to be. And Philip faithfully proclaimed what Isaiah 53, verses 7 through 12 had said. Philip said it's about Jesus. He didn't mince words either. He didn't beat around the bush. He knew that Jesus was the one that needed to be spoken of. And Philip knew Jesus very personally. And therefore, he could convey to that eunuch what the Bible was talking about in Isaiah chapter 53. Are you ever at the point when you read the Word of God and you can't understand even the most simple things in the Bible? Perhaps you need to come to know the author. If you learn to know the author, you'll know what the Bible is saying. And that's what this eunuch needed. He had some head knowledge, but he didn't have the knowledge of Christ, the Redeemer, the Savior, in his heart. And Philip is going to share that with him. We understand as we look further into this story that the soul winner, Philip, was very faithful. And the seeker, the eunuch, was hungry. He wanted to have somebody interpret the scriptures for him. And God showed up in scriptures And so we see 2 + 1 equals victory. Anytime you have two people discussing and looking at the Word of God and sharing the Word of God, and Christ is in the midst, you got three. You've got victory. So let's get a handle on where this took place. First of all, the Bible says it took place in the desert. Not just the desert, but the Gaza Desert. And the Gaza Desert was probably about 100 miles from where they'd been in Jerusalem. And we know that it was on the caravan route from Mesopotamia to Egypt. It was a stopover, a rest place for travelers and businessmen. And we knew it was one of the five principal cities of the Philistines. In fact, it was Gaza, if you recall, is where we find the blind man grinding. We find Samson, who had his eyes put out, grinding at the mill. And after he ground for a while and he had a young lad leading to the pillars of the big temple, he brought the house down. And nobody really applauded but the angels in heaven. But we find this is the same Gaza, and it's the southernmost city of Canaan. And it was a, as I said, it was a very strategic place. But can you imagine a preacher as successful and powerful as Philip, who'd been preaching and getting involved in mass evangelism in Jerusalem, and the angel of the Lord speaks to him and says, I want you to go to the desert. I can imagine he's questioning, why am I going to the desert? There aren't any crowds of people in the desert. But God had an appointment for him to meet a man who was in great need. And so he obeyed and went to the desert of Gaza. And eventually he would meet that one person that he would be influential and would share the gospel, I believe, of the Savior Jesus Christ. So let's consider about this great event in the lives of the eunuch and Philip and, of course, Jesus, who Philip preached about. First of all, the eunuch had the right motive. He had the right motive. You know, motive is very important when one comes to Christ. And it's important that we understand what motive really is. And I jotted down here a good definition of motive, and I want to share it with you. Motive is defined as that which incites to motion or action. It may signify either a mental impulse or something external that is an object of desire. That's what this eunuch had. He desired to know what Isaiah was speaking about. I give him credit. He was a true seeker after the will of God. And he had the right motive. And that's what the Bible says down here. In verse 30, I believe it is, it said, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And his answer was, how can I? Except some man tell me. You know, he was reading back in Isaiah, primarily in verse 7 and 8. And if you read those two verses, you'll find that those pronouns, his and him and he, are mentioned some 11 times. He wanted to know who that him was. Who was that one that the prophet was talking about? And Isaiah, he full knew about Jesus. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the words that he wrote about Jesus. And so Philip ran up to him and he questioned him. You don't understand, do you? He said. And I can just see Philip. You know, that chariot that he was riding in, that eunuch, it must have slowed down just a little bit, because chariots could move pretty quick, pretty fast. And I'm sure that he slowed down a bit, and he's probably bouncing all over the place, and he's got the manuscript, and he's trying to keep things going and level and balanced so he can decipher what the Bible is saying, what the Scripture is saying. And his heart hungry. It's desiring to know about this one of Isaiah 53. I believe he probably had the whole chapter of the book of Isaiah 53. I believe it's possible he read all the previous verses. One of my favorite verses is verse 6. And he was reading concerning Jesus, and he wanted to know, though he did not know Jesus at the time, he wanted to know who this prophet was speaking about. Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about another prophet? Philip didn't really get too involved at this point, except to say this. And it said the place of the scripture in verse 32, which he read, was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now watch verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Here it is, verse 35. I love this. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Wow. Philip was a man that was in love with Jesus and had the message of Jesus upon not only his lips but in his heart. And the motive that the eunuch had was the right motive. He was searching, he was seeking, he was a sojourner, and he's hungry for truth. And it's proven because he had what? He had the truth book that was available to him in his possession. He's reading the Word of God that was then available. He was very sincere and honest in his searching of the Scriptures, and his heart was right toward God. And he was that somebody that was in charge of the treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia. He lacked one thing. He lacked salvation. He lacked knowing Jesus Christ, the only Savior. He was reading the one book that could tell him about that Savior. He had been to a worship service in Jerusalem. He's excited about what he's reading, but he doesn't fully understand. And the Spirit of God had to, through Philip, interpret properly what the Scripture was revealing. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. For why? You're spiritually discerned. Until you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will not understand the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, to lead us into all truth. And so just like the rich young ruler, he lacked one thing. He lacked knowing Jesus, the Savior. This man needed to be saved, and if you're here without Christ today, that's your greatest need. Thank God you're in a gospel-preaching church. We believe that Jesus can save the lost soul of man, woman, boy, or girl. If you're not a believer today, if you've never been born again, if you've never had your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in a few minutes we're going to sing a hymn of invitation, and you're going to be given the opportunity to come and claim Jesus as your Savior. Yes, this eunuch, he had the right motive. And then notice secondly, very quickly, he had the right manuscript. He had the Word of God that was available to him. There's no book as precious, as powerful, and pure as the Bible. In fact, the Bible says of itself, back in Psalm 12:6, that the words of the Lord are what? Pure. Without error. I hear some of these modern day preachers say, well, I found a few contradictions in the Word of God this week. You're reading the wrong Bible, my friend. There are no contradictions. This is truth. God's word is eternal and it's true. But he held in his hand the right manuscript, the priceless, perfect, and powerful Word of God. He had the Scriptures that was speaking about the only person that could change his life. Perhaps you've tried to change your life. People try to clean up, they try to reform, and they try to take on all of these possibilities that they hear some folks talk about in self-help books about making yourself godly. You're never going to be godly till Jesus dwells within your heart. And so you need, as the eunuch needed, a Savior. He had the right manuscript. He was reading from Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8, and that dealt with a suffering servant Savior who died for him, and he might add, died for you and me also. And we notice that, I said before, I believe he was reading other verses prior or preceding to these two verses. I believe he was engrossed with the Word of God. He was truly hungry for what God had ready for him. And the required ingredients for people to come to know Christ as Savior, one of those ingredients is this book, the Bible. I read last night about a head-hunting king in Peru who in 1952, he had killed many people previously. He had decapitated them, shrunk their heads. He had never seen a white person, never seen an airplane. And finally, one day, two ladies from Wycliffe Translators, they landed on that little river tributary. And he said they were afraid. They saw this big bird land with the pontoons. And these two ladies came by faith. And a house was built for them by these Peruvian Indians. And after 2 years, nearly 3 years, of breaking down their language into what they could understand from the scripture, these two ladies led that head-hunting chief to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of the gospel. And later somebody else came to teach them. Her name was Rachel Saint. And she is a saint. She's in heaven, I believe, today. And she left some time instructing them. And she took the place of one of those missionaries that wanted to go home on furlough. And then later she went to the Aka Indians, the very Indians that killed her husband and four other servants of God. How can we so glibly sing in the service of the King when men have given their lives and women have given their lives that people might know about Jesus? Yes, he had the right manuscript. Thank God that he did. And then thirdly, very quickly, he listened to the right messenger. Who are you listening to? I listen to Brother Herm. He's pretty good. I listen to Brother Philip. He's good too. I even listen to Farmer Dave. He's very good. He just bought 41 calves this week. I'm going to see if he'll give me one to offer up unto the Lord. He probably won't part with it. But you know what? I listen to a lot of good preaching. I've been blessed beyond measure. In the book that I just finished writing, I have a page on there, my favorite preachers. And there's a few preachers from this church that are on or in that particular page. Shirley's one of them. No, not really. But you know what? I've been blessed and privileged to hear some great preaching in my lifetime. I just want to do some now. But you know, he listened to the right messenger. He listened to this former deacon. He listened to this evangelist. And now he is listening to this man standing out there all by himself. And he's wondered, I'm sure, God, why am I here? And about that time, in a cloud of dust comes this entourage and this chariot. And this eunuch is dressed regally in clothes that probably this man, Philip, had never seen before. And the chariot begins to slow down, and finally he starts running. And he comes up to that chariot, and the man says, "Look, I don't know why you're here. I don't know who you are, but can you tell me who this book is speaking about?" And you know, Philip was Johnny on the spot. He knew who Jesus was. And so we find him, and the Bible says that the eunuch listened to the right messenger. In verse 35, I reiterate what it said before. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. What scripture? Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. And preached unto him Jesus. I would never be a member of a church that didn't preach about Jesus. And you shouldn't be either. This is a gospel preaching church. And we have gospel preachers who lead us. Thank God that the message of Jesus goes forth from this pulpit. And we see that the Holy Spirit singled out the eunuch, but he also singled out Philip from the massive crowds in Jerusalem and up in Samaria and brought him all the way down here to one little spot to wait for a chariot and a group of people to come by. And Philip gave him the gospel, gave him Jesus, told him, and we see here 2 + 1 = victory. And the messenger that was present was faithful to preach the word of the Lord. He listened to Philip. Don't ever listen to a doubtful, discouraging preacher. Well, Brother Sam, I think we might be able to know if we're saved or not. No, that's wrong. We can know that we're saved by the word of God and the testimony of the Holy Spirit that gives us that assurance in our hearts. Be careful who you listen to. Some of these radio and television preachers are real good. Some of them are really bad. I listen to very few of them. Some I enjoy listening to. They speak the truth. And he listened to the right messenger. You know, we used to sing that little chorus, "Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear." Let me modify that. "Oh, be careful, big ears, what you hear." Adults. Some of you are getting poisoned and polluted with stuff that's not true. Be careful about Dr. Sounding Brass and what he's trying to sell you from the Bible. And we know that this meeting was no accident. This was a God thing. It was planned by God. I believe before eternity passed. Yes, Philip had received his direction and orders from the angel of the Lord. The Bible says in verse 26 and also there in verse 29. He got his direction from the angel of the Lord. I can just imagine that after this eunuch got saved, you say, how do you know he got saved? Well, look at verse 37. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is a son of God. If that's not transformation, if that's not regeneration, I don't know what is. He gave a clear-cut testimony, an affirmation that he was born from above. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Wow. Can you say that today? It's one thing to believe about Jesus Christ, but it's one thing to believe that he can save your never-dying soul and you've invited him into your heart and life. And that's what the eunuch did, because we have his testimony that as they're traveling along, by the way, the preacher got invited up to ride in that Rolls Royce. I've always wanted to ride in a Rolls Royce. One of these days, I'm going to call Brother Sheldon and see if I can ride in his. But not really. But I can say this. I bet that preacher thought he died and gone to heaven. He's in that glorious, good-looking chariot, and they're bouncing side by side, and they're rejoicing together because the Ethiopian eunuch has been now converted. And he said, what's keeping me from being baptized? See, there's some water. By the way, salvation always precedes baptism. I was raised in a church that didn't believe that. Thank God I got saved and out of that. But Philip said, you can, there's water. I read after one scholar about this particular portion of scripture, and he said they both got out of the chariot, and they walked down to the water, and they waded into ankle deep. And Philip reached down and got a pitcher of water or a container of water and poured it on his head. That's not baptism. Thank you, Brother Sam. I'm glad you said that. Because if you read the original, the word is baptizo. It's in the Greek in the New Testament. And it always means, and by the way, back even in this book of Isaiah, if you follow all the way through, it means immersed. He's put under the water. And they both came up, what does the scripture say? Up out of the water. And so he was baptized. That's a sure sign that this man had been born again. He had trusted the Lord as his Savior. So the eunuch was saved the same way we're saved. The grace of God was shed abroad in his heart as he heard the scriptures revealed to him. And Philip had made it plain, he'd made it easy, he'd made it simple. Sometimes we try to make the gospel too hard, too difficult. We really do. All we need to do is go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, and you'll find out what the gospel is. It's pretty simple. And Philip had preached to him and told him about Jesus. And I want to tell you, if you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to take him today to be your Savior. You need to trust him. You need to be a seeker like this eunuch. We've given to you, thus saith the Lord. The Bible said, if any shall call upon the name of the Lord, they'll what? They'll be saved. You say, that's a Baptist term. No, that's a Bible term. The Baptist can only claim it to use it. But it's a Bible term and a Bible word. Saved, salvation, eternal life is all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. I've tried to climb up into your imaginary chariot today and share with you what the scripture says. The whole commentary that Brother Glenn read so well speaks for itself. The eunuch was seeking. He was reading the Word of God. The evangelist interpreted. The Holy Spirit drove it home. And the deal was sealed. He found out who Jesus was. And I want to say to you today, if you're here without the Savior, you need to consider that Jesus could save even you. No case is too hard for my Lord. Before Brother Denny comes to lead us in our hymn of invitation, let's bow in prayer. Every eye closed, every head bowed.